Hello and welcome to ILC Home Claims Week. In 2020, we're holding a virtual conference as opposed to a physical one, but let's all hope that we're back meeting with each other next November. First of all, I want to say thanks. We've had lots of interest in the support we've been able to provide through 2020. And of course, 2020 is indeed the theme of the Home Claims Week. We're going to look at how we adapted, what we learned, and what we're going to change. And I think it's fair to say that the home claims world has risen to the many, many challenges that we've been set through 2020. And we're looking forward to a great week, webinars and podcasts, where we're going to look at how we understand each other's businesses, how we collaborated and worked together, how we looked at cost and pricing, and it might help us move forward, tech and the process, alternative accommodation, subsidence, and of course, contractors and building claims. But I guess the biggest thank goes to our sponsors and corporate partners, without whom we wouldn't really be able to do this. Headline sponsor of Claims Consortium Group, so thanks to Jeremy and the team. Other sponsors are Service Certainty, Sedgwick's, Coraventa, Safeline, GeoBear, SCI, and of course our corporate partners, Carpenters, CoreLogic, SiteCall, Innovation Group, iCab and Synergy. If you're interested in having a commercial relationship with I Love Claims, contact either myself or my colleague Nick Sproul. Anyway, the biggest thanks is to you. Throughout the year, you tuned in to our 20-odd webinars, which we hope have really helped us through some difficult times. And of course, we're not out of the woods yet, so we will continue to support you by hoping that we can be better tomorrow from what we learned today. Anyway, without any further delay, let's get on with this session. Hello and welcome to this morning's podcast, where we're going to be looking at contractors and specialists in the building claims process. I'm Alan Souter, I'm the chair of ILC Home. Delighted to be with you again as we continue to look at what we've all achieved in 2020 and what we might learn. We've adapted, we've learned, now we've got to make sure that the changes we make solidify and help move us forward. During lockdown, a lot of challenges to building claims, to contractors, to specialists, and to people like Paul, who we're about to meet, for coming in and trying to help technology move us forward when we couldn't access things. And I think it would be wrong not to understand some of the challenges that were faced when we had to almost down tools, when people weren't keen to get this in houses, when we could go in, we had to get PPE and slightly more complex working practices. And of course, in all of that, we had certain financial challenges to go through. So it's a part of the industry that has been under the same strain, if not more than other parts of it. However, I have to share this with us this morning's podcast. Stephen Guy of React UK, Paul Sell of Service Certainty, Kate McKenzie of Courtesy Kitchens and Bathrooms, and Nick Spoil of our own ILC and Gallagher Bassett. So let me start. Let me first of all go to you, Stephen, as the token Scotsman that I always have to have one Scots person on it, as you probably see as you go through the week. How are contractors doing? You know, we heard a lot, and you and a few of your colleagues contributed earlier on in a summer and spring series of webinars and podcasts. But how are contractors doing now that we're into the first week of December?
I think overall, I think all contractors have adapted really, really well. They've faced many challenges with going to customers' houses that perhaps didn't want you there, first of all. I think they've also had challenges getting materials. That was a big one. You're having to really, really forecast what jobs you're doing to make sure you've got all the materials in stock and making sure your diaries are booked properly and leaving enough time even in between going and visiting your properties to allow for, you know, going into a customer's house, he's fully equipped and making sure you adhere to the restrictions. So it's been challenging, but I think every contractor that I've spoken to has adapted well, and we just embrace it. We've had a lot of help from the insurance companies, and they've really, really supported us throughout. You know, any challenges that we've faced, they've been there to assist, advise. So yeah, it's been challenging, but I think we've definitely acted well.
Told you the first person to not unmute would be me. There you go. Nick, from your perspective, quite wide geographical areas you've looked at, how are you seeing things now as opposed to how they were perhaps 6 or 7 months ago?
I think today versus 6 or 7 months ago, what we've seen is, I think, the emergence of the supply chain, having new skills, being able to adapt to the current environment at the moment. It's COVID, there'll be another challenge in the future. And I think what's really come through really strong from the contractor's perspective is, and I've said this for years, Alan, in actual fact, contractors are a lot more than contractors. They're technical service providers who happen to deliver a repair solution at the end. And that whole journey, I think, through this year, through this last 6 to 7 months, has been challenging, new skills, new ways. And I think the insurance contractor community has again stepped up with new skills, and I think solidified sort of our position for insurers and brokers that we're an absolutely crucial piece of the jigsaw.
That's interesting. From early on, from a process point of view, though, that must have been quite challenging. So, Paul, looking at the process and using technology, have you seen, how significant a change have you seen since we went into lockdown back in, I think it was the end of March?
I think it's been quite very significant, Alan, to be honest. We provide solutions across both motor and home, and haven't worked in the supply chain for many years. There was always a conversation about motor being ahead of home in a technology, from a technology perspective. I've got to say, I think this last year has really changed that. Because if you now consider the fact that, you know, video or digital solutions are being used to do remote assessments, variation orders, remote audits, remote inspections, I could list quite a lot, digital settlements. You know, how much of that has been in the last 7 or 8 months? Probably quite a lot. And now when you look at it, aside from some AI in motor that's obviously been advancing in the last sort of 10 years, I've got to say, I think the home market now is a fantastic place to be for using technology to sit alongside experts, not replace them, but to sit alongside experts to help their job, to find those efficiencies. Because I think you're right, everyone has had to adapt during COVID. But what's being learned through that process is actually this can be really helpful to bring efficiencies in the business, to create a better claims experience for customers and create better outcomes. So I think significant is the right word to use there, Alan.
Yeah. Do you know what? You've just started the battle between motor and home again, so I can mark Harvey back on again.
I thought I'd do that, yeah.
Yeah, wind it up. Kate, it's a slightly different angle from the specialist point of view. So from courtesy kitchen stroke accommodation connect perspective, I guess what was the journey for you? Because this started with all of a sudden people not really able to do work. So we had people, I don't know, suspended, not in hotels, etc. So was there much demand for mobile and temporary stuff early in lockdown? And how's that progressed? Has that increased or decreased as you've gone through?
It's been a bit of a strange roller coaster, really. Naturally, I think everyone would assume that because no one the hotels did shut and the accommodation that we had available previously, we did event very, very quiet initially. And I think that's probably where we were all kind of resetting and trying to work out what this meant for us and how we move forward and adapt. But very quickly, we saw that insurance companies and loss adjusters alike were adapting to the situation. They'd managed to get their teams at home and then everything started moving forward again. And then with that, we did have a surge as such, which was presented its own challenges because obviously we have to bubble as well. So we had to divide teams and the logistics of that and making sure that we were still catering to everyone. It was quite challenging at times, but we soon very much settled into that. And I think as an overall thing, really, throughout this whole lockdown COVID process, I think everyone has got a much more empathy for suppliers, and I do for the insurers alike. And we seem to be working a lot better compared to, say, this time last year. I feel like this has really established some better relationships, really, across the board. And it's not so, you sort of understand when something doesn't quite go the way you want it to, that there is a reason for that. It's not someone just being difficult. They might be presented with their own challenges. And we see that from a customer perspective and from behind the scenes discussing with insurers perspective. But it definitely has come in waves. So it doesn't follow our normal flow. So you don't really know what to expect at the moment. And you kind of have to just be ready for whatever's thrown at you, really. Just like the second lockdown. I suppose some of us were expecting it and some of us weren't. But each time that happens, it presents its different challenges for all of us, doesn't it? So, yeah, just become very flexible, I think, is the best word to use.
Yeah. And it'd be fair if you, as it's Wednesday, this afternoon's webinar session is on collaboration and boundaries. And I think we're going to find a lot of the real advances that is made there. But Stephen, tell me, what from all of this and working through it difficult and bearing in mind that all different parts of the countries have been in different stages of lockdown at different times, what are the good stories that come out of this? I'm happy to have some good stories and I'm even happy to have some funny stories, you know, because we began to collect them. ILC, we had to adapt, and we held a series of about 22 weeks in a row, webinars and a podcast. So with contractors, what really has happened in the west of Scotland?
I think, again, it's all about just adapting. And I think we have been faced many challenges. You know, one of the ones that we personally understood was the customer who we had to get back in the property because they'd been in AA. And was every merchant basically, the customer had no kitchen worktops, facilities, anything like that. And we actually cut our own worktop out of our office and took it to the customer's house and fitted our worktop from our office and fitted it into the customer's property to give them facility. So that was a good news story. You know, we felt we went over and beyond. We didn't have any facilities in the office, but once the restrictions were lifted, we managed to get the customer sorted out properly. But as a measure, we kind of went down that route to make sure the customer was okay. That was one of the kind of things that we taken adapt to and to go on for, I suppose.
Whoops. Yeah, I think there's a lot of good stories to be adapted to. And Nick, with his ILC hat, will know how we had to make some considerable adaptations because we really wanted to have the facility to allow people to help themselves in the industry. And we've got a lot of good feedback about that. But with your other hat on, Nick, give me some. So, I mean, there's been a lot of tough stories. I know you've told me a lot of them where you've you know, really had to work through it. But there must be some good stories and even slightly amusing stories which have a positive ending, he says pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, the one that stands out, in actual fact, next week we're in the Insurance Times Awards final on the 9th for this. And it was actually the very first day of the very first lockdown. And we had an emergency call, and there was a large utility company had a mains burst. And it had damaged a number of properties, and a number of the people in those properties were what we would classify as vulnerable. I mean, they were all vulnerable because of what had happened, but in particular, high risk, vulnerable. And we literally deployed teams of electricians, etc., there, whilst reading the rules of what was allowable. And if everybody's honest, you know, it was a time when it wasn't really black and white, it wasn't really crystal clear, but we used our common sense and we were able to make everybody safe. give them some reassurance, working, key word actually, you've already said it, but working collaboration with a number of specialist companies to support the people that have been affected by this. And as a result of the outcome, we were entered into the Insurance Times Award for, it's called Claims Collaboration, Claims Partnership, Claims Collaboration. So that was one incident, and we thought, crikey, this was a bit complicated. And as you know, Alan, we've since then been involved in something about 25 times bigger, right in the midst of lockdown two, and a large number of vulnerable people, but also key workers as well that were affected. And again, learning new skills, working in collaboration, protecting people's homes, things that we've never been involved before in having to engage with security companies, for example, all to protect the people and hopefully, help them through what nobody really would have expected during normal times, but during these heightened times, it's a lot more challenging to manage those expectations, but we're working through it. So yeah, they would be my two significant lessons and positive outcomes for this.
I have to stop putting myself in you. Now I remember some of the stress you've gone through some of them, and it's good when the outcome's good. Yeah. Kate, over to you then. I know you've shared with us before a couple of good stories, and I think included helping a lady up in Stephen's part of the world. So what were the best and or nicest stories you've had from having to work through these special circumstances?
It's hard to pick, isn't it? They all have their own little stories and reasons why they're enjoyable. I think the ones that stick out to me, actually probably one of the most recent ones. So I think we can all agree that we kind of need a bit of Christmas cheer at the moment. And I'm certainly locally seeing a lot more outside decorations already early on, pre-December. And I think the feeling's quite far and broad with that one. And I think we're all looking forward to just a little bit of normality. And so we had a request come in from one of our partners that this particular lady didn't want the bathroom that she required to obstruct her Christmas decorations. So she lived in a lovely little cul-de-sac, and they all chip in and make it all look very beautiful, especially for the children and whatnot. And she was ever so excited about that. And obviously one of our bathrooms is going to take up a prized place for, I think it was like some sort of like blow up Santa or something. But because there wasn't really an alternative option for her, because they were a large family, and it just wasn't feasible for them to be in a hotel, especially with COVID going on. I just don't think that's necessarily the best option for families at this moment in time, let alone normally sort of thing. And so we decided, I say we, it was Chris, bless him, on the way up there, he decided to stop at a builder's merchants and buy a long, long stretch of rope. And after installing the bathroom, he's wrapped the rope round the bathroom and given her sort of like stretches and whatnot so that she can wrap her Christmas lights around it. And she was absolutely over the moon, because now this new bathroom's become this sort of Christmas feature on her driveway. And I think I didn't know he was going to do this. And I was really pleased afterwards. And I think it just sends the message at the moment that we just need to be a little bit more relaxed. We need to help each other. We need to bring that cheer and joy. It's not great. It's not the best situation at the moment, but there's little things like that that can just make it a little bit easier for everyone. So I'm actually waiting for her to send me the photo of her area all dressed up. So just look out for it on LinkedIn, because as soon as I've got that, I will be sharing it.
We'll certainly share that. And I think that goes back to Nick's very early point about being, whatever supplier we are, contractors, whatever, it's about being more than that and at the face. Paul, slightly different from you, but not really. It's just a bit deeper, really. We've heard, and I think you were on the particular webinar when this took place earlier, we heard from Ian Marsh at Saga about what was a huge uptake of new technology that they were able to use. And I think that surprised a lot of people given their customer base. So as you look through the take-up of video-type products, et cetera, as you said earlier, it's really grown this year. Have any particular areas of this surprised you? Or is it just like, you know, all of a sudden it's become a necessity being the mother of invention and people are realising the value of it now?
Yeah, sorry, I don't have a bathroom / Santa's Crosshill story, but that sounded fantastic, by the way. What a lovely story. I think your final point there is probably right, Alan, that, you know, we've certainly been around now for over 10 years, and this technology and what we can do with it has been around for some time. But I think the last year has meant people have had to look at different ways to assess when they can't go into a home or give customers some reassurance, to take Nick's point from earlier, by having a quick look at what the problem is. So I think that, yes, necessity has meant that people have obviously picked things up very quickly. But also, I think the other thing I've been probably a little bit surprised about, but it's been really good, is that everyone's got slightly different challenges. So part of what we do is we create solutions or bespoke solutions depending on what it is. So whether that's to audit your network or engage with a customer to get some eyes on the damage, whether that's to do a digital settlement. There's lots of different solutions that everyone's got a slightly different way of approaching it. Everyone's got slightly different operating models and slightly different ways they want to manage claims. And therefore, I think the bit that is interesting for me anyway is the different client conversations and the different ways in which people want to use technology to do different things. It's not a case of just having an off-the-shelf product that everyone buys. It's a case of having solutions that you can create for everyone's different scenarios. And the, you know, the way we might go and help a street full of flooded houses is very different, perhaps, to how we might get some video solution on a remote audit. So it's all very different uses of technology, but certainly a real willingness now, I think, to engage and consider how it can help.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say we have been as an industry very slow in our ability to use technology in a more mass basis. You know, it's always been there available for a while, but it has seemed slow. And the change this year has been phenomenal. So, Stephen, that brings up, we would always say, of course, that technology isn't a customer service in its own right. It just enables the people to give a better customer service if that's the right solution. And Paul was talking there about the variable use. How significant have you seen a change in behaviour between, and you've got to be careful here, of course, between all your customers and all the way down the supply chain? You know, we've talked about collaboration, it's been greater. I've actually sort of got the feeling of just a change in how we all talk to each other and how we all help each other. Has that really been noticeable? Because at the end of the day, guys like you and Nick at GB are going in and doing the job. You're at the end of the chain.
I think the way technology has definitely helped us, we're improving the process on from when you get first notification to when you're finished. And with technology, you're uploading pictures immediately. So the customer journey is better. They're not having to sit and wait for approvals, because there and then your operatives on site are sending you pictures or videos of real-time issues that are faced when you strip off bathroom tiles or you take up a floor and joists are damaged and what have you. So immediately you're getting the live images, and the insurance companies more so now are buying into that, and you can upload it to them. They give you approval pretty much immediately and you crack on, and you're not having to come off site, reschedule the works in, which is a cost to everyone. And the disruption for the customer is just really, really frustrating, because a customer has in their head, this job is going to take 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it may be. And if it deviates from that, then that's a stress in itself. So we all know what it's like having customers, having trades in your property. It's an upheaval. So That's stressful enough, but I think the way technology is going, I think all our surveyors are getting better at it. I think our trades are getting better at it. I think the insurance companies are getting better at it. I think even customers now understand what they've got to do. They send pictures in or videos in, and that really speeds the whole process up. So I think it can only be a good thing, and I think the more people buy into it, the better the industry will be, and the customer journey will improve greatly.
I think that's a real, you know, one of the dangers, move on to that, one of the things he knows, this makes me nervous both in my day job and in my IOC role, is as we hopefully soon begin to come out of the situation we're in, I perceive there will be a challenge between the innovation and fantastic stuff that's gone, and I'll look for Nick's comments on how we've been able to work together to change the attitude. But my fear is that there'll still be a number of places where people will resort to type. And I feel it's really important from a momentum perspective that the people who've been innovating win that battle. But I still perceive there might be one to come. Have you seen that significant change in attitude, Nick, through both your day job and your ILC job? And do you think there's a danger there?
So, interesting, I've written a few points here. I see a blend, and I'll pick on one. We haven't touched on this, but I think that we're going to enter a new dawn, if you like, where companies are going to be under more pressure to demonstrate their green credentials. So pre-COVID, and I'm sure Steve will relate to this, one of the SLAs is to get your surveyor there within 2 days to survey the damage, regardless of the scope of the damage. So that's lots of insurance surveyors doing lots of miles, etc. What highlighted this to me is that we do a lot of first party and third party claims, and during COVID, the third party claims, you can imagine impact damage claims from delivery drivers, etc. So all external damage works. And we were sending surveyors and whatnot. And we won't do that anymore because our first port of call will be to use a local crowdsourced specialist photographer. I can't say too much more than that with who we're working with, but we deploy a local person to go and get some images that are uploaded, etc. And I would say in 60% of those types of claims, we can desktop validate them and put an estimate of repair cost against them. So saving time, money for the client and the customer. So that's a practical example. Other things like portals and Track My Claim, I think they will absolutely have their place for sharing information and updates, etc. There's a however coming, you know me. The however that I've seen is, and I think we've touched on this, customers still like to have a conversation with somebody dealing with their claim that can answer their questions on the spot and reassure them that it's in hand. So I think it's going to be a hybrid solution.
And I think as we go back in it, and I think, you know, we've heard that in a few of the podcasts we've done. Again, this is technology enabling customer service, not providing. Yeah. Kate, from your perspective, of course, the service is more face-to-face when you eventually get there. You find lots of information, people. So when you go through Accommodation Connect and there's a courtesy kitchen or bathroom, right, you have to get there, place it on either a really sloping driveway, fit it in somewhere, because it's not always, this is not a one-size-fits-all solution. This is something that has to change almost from property to property. How do you get the information to allow you to know what you do? And when Chris and the guys go out and deliver it, they're able to do it. You know, there's got to be a lot of information coming your way first. Is that easy to get a hold of?
Yeah, generally. I think over time people sort of realise how much information that we need. Thankfully, we do live in an age of Google Maps, which is very, very helpful to us in assessing generally the situation. Obviously, on odd occasions, and because that's not completely up to date, we do have to request maybe a little bit more further information from the customer themselves. But I think, funnily enough, actually, and I think we've touched on this already, the progression of the customer throughout this whole period is quite significant as well. And I think I've seen more people understanding and willing to maybe video call or send photographs in. We've even adopted the use of WhatsApp for Business, which previously as a, and it's only for initial information, and there's, we don't sort of share sort of details on there, but even that initial port of contact, that's become quite useful to us. And I think people are adapting to a more sort of technological world as such, rather than things being very basic as they were beforehand.
Information is great, and people are using them more through the necessity of this year. Terrific. Paul, briefly, as we're about to end, this is about contractors and specialists. What's the technology really going to do to help people like Stephen at React be able to do an even better job? You notice that even there, by the way, Stephen, an even better job for clients and policyholders than they do already.
Well, of course, it will never replace the work that Stephen and the team do, as you quite rightly say, fantastic job. But I think Stephen referred to it earlier. Initially, it's very easy now for customers to engage to give you a view of what they're looking at. And it's much easier to go to know what it is you need to do when you get there, when you've seen what the customer's seen, and not just taking a description from an ethanol feed, which is perhaps what used to happen in, going back in time. And then during that claim, you know, the various video solutions allow Stephen to keep in touch with his team and or seek authority from the insurance provider and or provide transparency of what's happening during that claim to either the end customer, if they're not in their home, or to the insurer or TPA client you're working for. And then, you know, following all of that, potentially look to do some remote auditing if required from the client as well. So it brings a level of transparency, I think, to the great work that Stephen and his team does, and people like Stephen's team. It brings a level of engagement to the customer and saves an awful lot of time, to take Nick's point, less people driving around, lots of efficiency, as well as environmental benefits. So I think that what you've got now is just the start of what will now become a continued augmentation, if you like, of where technology sits within and next to experts that can go and do a great job.
Mm. Well, there we go. One thing is, I think we should all thank everybody involved in this, not only for the participation today, but the great work that you've all done for the industry and the claims industry throughout 2020. You have had to adapt. We have had to learn, and we are making great changes. I'm looking forward to the rest of this week. This afternoon, we'll be looking at collaboration and boundaries. Tomorrow at subsidence, cost and pricing. Lots more to take place this week in ILC. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, listening to us for the rest of the day. We are here to help. If you want to contact us, it's alan@iloveclaims.com or Nick without a K @iloveclaims.com. We're happy to listen to your thoughts and questions, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Great. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, everyone.
Cheers, everyone.